from John chapter 21. John 21, verses 15 to 19. John 21, verses 15 to 21. 19, sorry. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Shall we just pray? Lord, will you use these words for the glory of your kingdom? Will you open our hearts to receive your word this morning? And then, Lord, help us to be doers of a word and not just hearers. So, Lord, will you just put a guard upon these lips that I only say what you want me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. I was hoping this morning to see Pat Hunt with a leprechaun hat on, because she rang me up and said that Wales were going to beat Ireland, and if they didn't, she will wear a leprechaun hat. So never trust a woman. This morning, I'm here because Chris was desperate. He'd already asked someone, and they pulled out, and then he asked Robert, and Robert pulled out at the last minute because Jim Thomas has dislocated his shoulder, so he's down with Jim and Sarah at the moment. But this is all a part of God's sovereign plan. Do you realize that you're here this morning, not just because you come every week, but because God has brought you here this morning? And I believe that God has brought someone here this morning just to hear this message. And I always struggle, I don't know about you, but when someone asks me to preach, I find it much easier if someone gives me a subject. And I struggle usually for weeks to find out what God wants me to speak on. But this week I only had 3 days. And God was good. He gave me the word while I was washing up. And so this is about, we're going to look at failure this morning. And I believe there is someone here this morning, this message is specially for you. So I want to start with a true story this morning. A Russian pastor was talking to Brother Andrew. I don't know, many of you probably have read Brother Andrew's book, God Smuggler. In fact, we've got a Bible smuggler here this morning, but we won't mention who it is. An ex-smuggler of Bibles. Okay, so it was about 1969, this Russian pastor came up to Brother Andrew and told him his story. The pastor was traveling on one of the local trains in Russia that stopped at every village. And he was this pastor was in a carriage with just one other guy. And they started talking. And eventually the subject of religion was brought up. And the fellow passenger was an atheist. And so the Russian minister did a very brave thing, because in those days you weren't allowed to have Bibles openly in Russia. And he got his Bible out and started to share the things of God with the atheist. And then and the discussion went on, and the Russian atheist would have nothing to do with the Word of God. He flatly refused to listen at all. So eventually, just as it was getting near to where the pastor was going to get off, he thought, well, I better go to the loo. So he trundled off to the loo, but he thought, while I was in the loo, I'll leave my Bible open, and you never know, he might pick it up and read it. But when he got back, he saw that his fellow passenger, just closing the window of the carriage, and the Bible was nowhere to be found. The atheist had thrown the Bible out of a carriage window. And the pastor couldn't say anything, because it was illegal then to have a Bible in public, and especially to share the news of Jesus. Within a few minutes, he had arrived at his destination. He got out of a train and walked along the platform, thinking to himself, what a failure. I failed to convince the atheist about Jesus, and I've lost my most precious possession, my Bible. Because Bibles were very hard to get in those days in the Soviet Union. Some months later, while the pastor was working in his village, a stranger came from a village nearby, and he had heard on the local grapevine that there was a Christian pastor in the village, and that he baptized people. And he was asking around, where's this pastor? Because I want to be baptized. And people obviously were very cautious in those days. But they eventually pointed the pastor out to him. And the man said, please baptize me. I want to be baptized. I've become a Christian. So the pastor said, well, tell me your story. He said, it was absolutely amazing. He said, I'm a local builder in the next village. And I was working near the railway line one afternoon, when suddenly someone threw this book out the window, and it landed just near where I was working. And being nosy and curious, I walked over and picked it up. And it was a Bible. I'd never seen a Bible in my life before. But I started to read it. I took it home and I started to read it, and I couldn't put it down. I read it every night. And gradually I realized how much God loved me. And then I realized that he loved me so much that he sent Jesus, his son, to die for my sins. And I believed. But it says in God's word, believe and be baptized. So here I am. Will you baptize me? And the pastor, of course, baptized him. And the builder went back to his village and witnessed to his fellow villagers. And people came to know Jesus as their Savior. And a small church was started. Victory in failure. What the pastor thought was going to be a failure, was a great victory. What about yourselves? Do you sometimes feel a failure as a Christian? I know I do. I often think, oh, what a rubbish Christian I am. And you feel an absolute failure. But remember, God hasn't written me off, and he hasn't written you off. God deals in failures. Just look around you. Gene said, don't put that in. But I couldn't resist it. But just look around you. None of us are perfect, are we? But God still uses us. And in the Bible, we read many times how God uses failures and never gives up on them. If you turn to Genesis 12 or Genesis 20, we read about Abraham. And what did Abraham do? He was a great man of faith. But he lied about his wife, didn't he? Twice. Because he called his wife Sarah his sister to save his own skin. Then Isaac, Abraham's son, did exactly the same thing to his wife Rebekah, calling her his sister to save his life. Then we have Jacob, who in Genesis 27:28, Jacob who deceived his father and cheated his brother out of his birthright. All God's people. Then what about Moses? In Exodus 2, Moses killed an Egyptian and had to flee the country for 40 years. God used him. And we all know in Judges 13, we all know about Samson, don't we? And Delilah, the lust of the flesh. And again, the lust of the flesh, King David, and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel 11, which eventually led to the death of Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband. And yet, what did God call David? A man after my own heart. And look how mightily God has used David. Even today through his Psalms, how many people have been blessed through reading David's Psalms. And then we turn to the New Testament and John 18 Peter the Apostle. But we're going to hear more about him in a minute. And then in Acts 15:37-38, John Mark, the writer of the second gospel, deserted Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey, and Paul wrote him off. But God didn't write him off, because later on we read that Paul sends for John Mark because I find him useful. So the next few moments, let's look at Peter. In Matthew 14, verses 22 to 32, he failed. Remember when he tried to walk on water, when Jesus came, when they were on the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus came walking towards him. It was only Peter who got out of the boat and started to walk. But what happened to Peter? He took his eyes off Jesus and started to sink. And that's so often why we fail. Because we take our eyes off Jesus. In Matthew 16 verse 23. When Jesus told the disciples that he was going to go to Jerusalem and die. And Peter said to him, you can't do that, Lord. You mustn't do that. So Peter was trying to stop Jesus going to the cross. And what did Jesus say to him? Get behind me, Satan. And then in John 18, verses 15 to 21, after Jesus was arrested, and was on trial in the courtyard of the high priest, Peter denied Jesus three times, just as Jesus predicted. Yet, Jesus says of Peter, on this rock I will build my church. On this rock I will build my church. Just before Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had predicted that the disciples would desert him and that Peter would deny him three times. But Jesus also promised to meet up with the disciples and Peter in Galilee after his resurrection. In the passage we're looking at this morning, Jesus is fulfilling that promise he made to meet up with the disciples in Galilee after his resurrection. It was the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after his death and resurrection. Let's just fill this passage in the background. Remember, the disciples had gone back to their occupation. They'd gone out on the Sea of Galilee and been fishing all night. And we all know the story, don't we? That they didn't catch any fish at all. And Jesus appears on the seashore and calls out to them across the lake, "Cast the net on the other side." And they cast the net on the other side and they catch 153 fish. And then John, the disciple, recognizes Jesus and turns to Peter and says, "That's Jesus, that's our Lord." And what does Peter do? He jumps into the water and swims ashore. He couldn't wait to meet up with Jesus. And we see here a picture. Although Peter had let Jesus down badly, Peter still loved Jesus. And that's just like us. When we fail, we have not stopped loving him, and Jesus hasn't stopped loving you. Jesus hasn't stopped loving you. In the passage we read, we are listening in on a very personal conversation that Jesus had with Peter. A conversation that Peter would never forget. Jesus knew Peter's heart, just as he knows your heart here this morning. And Jesus asked Peter a question. "Do you truly love me?" Three times Jesus asks Peter the same question. The same number of times that Peter had betrayed Jesus. And three times Peter replies, "You know I do." On the third occasion, Peter adds these words, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." God knows our hearts. He knows our love for him, even when we fail. Notice, each time Peter responds to Jesus' question, Jesus gives him a command. "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." Fishing speaks of evangelism. "I will make you fishers of men," while looking after the sheep, shepherding the sheep, speaks of teaching and pastoral care. God wants you and me not to listen to the devil's voice that says, "We're not good enough. You have failed. None of us are perfect. But we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, God's Son, who has paid the price, the penalty of our sin on the cross, and rose victorious on the third day, conquering sin and death. So when we do sin, confess it, bring it before the cross. We have this promise in 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. Start afresh. Remember, Jesus specializes in transforming failures into rocks of strength for his church. Jesus specializes in transforming failures into rocks of strength for his church. That's you and me. So fix your eyes on Jesus and be used of God. Remember Proverbs 24, verse 16a. The godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Let's read that again. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. And remember, weeks after that chat that Peter had with Jesus on that seashore at the Sea of Galilee, on the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and spoke. And what happened? 3,000 people were saved. God deals in failures. He deals in you and me. Don't listen to the devil's lies that says you're no good. God wants to use you and me for the glory of his kingdom. It might not be 3,000 lives, it might be one life, but one life in heaven where the hosts of heaven shout for joy and hold a party. Wouldn't that be lovely? That we just led one person to the Lord, that God used us that way. So don't give up. God loves you and wants to use you. Amen. Shall we just have a word of prayer? Lord, we thank you that you know all about us. You know things about us, but no one else knows about us. You know our failings, you know our shortcomings, but we thank you that you love us and that we can come and confess our sins and you will deal with it. It's been dealt with at Calvary and we can start a fresh review. So help us not to listen to the devil's lies, but help us to walk in your ways and listen to your voice and be led by you in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.